for the morning to you, Cisa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that His mercy flows in the morning.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Caroline. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, where it says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Father God, there's a really bad spirit floating around in the airways. Well, I guess it's a couple of them. One being fear. Another one being the spirit of domination and control. Father God, I pray this morning that you would lift and destroy those airway spirits of domination and control. I pray this morning that you would free the minds and the souls and the bodies of your believers. Lord God, we're all called to be believers. And there's a spirit, and it's so very, very subtle. It's so subtle that it's almost undetectable. But it is a spirit of opposition. And this spirit opposes everything of Christ Jesus. And it operates undetected, because it operates just beneath the level of where it can be recognized in the natural. But this demon is so recognizable in the spirit, God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to unloose holy, warring, and angels that can stop this spirit. This spirit causes so many people not to be able to reach their full potential in you, and their full potential of their own destiny, because this spirit, it does not want people to expand. It does not want people to grow. It does not want people to reach their full potential. God, I saw it. You let me see it. You let me experience it yesterday. Lord God, remove the blinders. Uncover, remove the veil that this thing is hiding under. It's almost, but almost doesn't count, God. You have allowed me to actually see it, actually experience it. And God, I believe that that happened because of the commitment and the mission to free the spouses. So I need you to reveal that spirit to your people. I need you, God, to lift the veil so that they can see it. I need you to remove it off their ears, remove it off their eyes, that they can comprehend this demon. And I thank you that you're going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I had an encounter with a demon last night. I want to tell you about it so that I'm sure that many of you have encountered it, and maybe you didn't know what it was. I have encountered it before several times, but sometimes we think, okay, that's just how somebody is, or that's their way. No, it's not. Many times it is a spirit, and that spirit is opposed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's purpose, whatever the purpose is. And it cannot come out, because if it just came out, you would say, you would rebuke it. That's what you would do. And that's what I would do. So it works subtly through the spirit of another person. And we're going to talk about it this morning. But before I talk about that, I asked Brother Robert to come on the blog talk. And I want him to explain what he sent me. Oops. No. What he sent me, because it's so relevant. And I keep doing it. I bind and rebuke you this morning. I bind and rebuke you this morning, Satan. Are you on the blog talk already? Hello, good morning. Are you on the blog talk already? Okay, I want you to slowly teach what you just sent me in that text, okay? Okay, so what's your last four? Okay, I don't care how long you have to take to teach it. Just teach it where we can understand it, okay? Right. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, wait a minute. What's your last four? I'm gonna put you, are you on the blog? Have you signed in the blog talk? Hang up and call the blog talk. I'm calling you on my cell phone. Okay, bye. Just hold on to it, just a minute here. God is great. God is great. We got to do this. We're also in agreement with some other ministers. I'm not at liberty to, oh, there it is. I'm not at liberty, but I'm going to tell you.
Shout, 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 yeah.
Praise God. Brother Robert, you're on the blog talk this morning.
Okay. Praise God. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I need you to speak up a little bit.
Is this any better?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Okay. Can you hear me? That's fine.
Yes. These 3 days that we're praying for kindred, the teaching for our kindred and our kinfolk and praying for spouses and all, this is big for me. This has absorbed me for a long time. This is a godsend for me, and I'm praying for everybody and to see results and to go from Saturday to then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is a flow that's of the Lord, and it's just a great blessing for me. This morning when I got up, I had decided I was going to fast for these 3 days. I was going to do the dry fast, and I got up a little extra early this morning, and my phone, I noticed it tells me things, that it's like notifications, and it happened to mention that today was Purim, P-U-R-I-M, which is a Jewish holiday, and I remembered hearing it, but really didn't know what it was. So I looked it up, and it was the Feast of Lots, and it happens to be the second to third. I'm sorry. I am wrong. It is next week, 9, 10, and 11 to come. I apologize. I looked at I have a Jewish calendar hanging on the wall, and I got it because it's interesting and it shows some of the holidays and what the Jewish calendar is. But I apologize. It's not the second, the third, and the fourth. It's the 9th, 10th, and 11th. So I apologize, but we're a week ahead of time. But the interesting connection with this is Purim is where it comes from the book of Esther, where Queen Esther went into the king, her spouse, and basically risked her life and successfully pleaded for her kindred, her people. She revealed that she was Jewish, and the plot against her kindred was revealed, and the power was sapped, her enemy was killed, and her people were established. And that's what we're doing. So I apologize that I looked at this calendar wrong. It's actually next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, not today. But this is an echo of that. This is the same thing, the same time frame. This centers around the full moon, which is interesting. That kind of symbolizes us reflecting God's light. And in the full moon, it's reflecting as much of the light as it's able to. When he brings us into fullness with himself, that's what that is, full salvation and wholeness. And that's what's coming. And maybe there's a week here to look forward to this. But this is an example of when Dr. Erica taught about Chronos and Kairos. Chronos is a set time, which is what these holidays are. They're set. They're not set according to the calendar. They're set according to the full moon when they occur. So the dates actually move around a bit. And then Kairos is a God time, is a season or is a time where God moves. And this is both, really. And it's odd that it happened. These 3 days happened in sync with that. It's as if it's a witness. It's a witness to that. And if you look into the book of Esther and how she successfully pleaded for her kindred, that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. And we have an example in that. And it just, praise God, even the fast for that. The first day, they fast. And then the next 2 days, they celebrate. It's almost a giddy celebration of it. And that's what's coming. And maybe this is in prep for that. But that is definitely a witness from a long time ago to what we're doing today.
Wow. You know, what I find so interesting is that from last year into this year, we're following, and it wasn't planned by us, we're following all the Jewish feasts. We're following all the Jewish holidays, and we seem to be right in sync with that movement. And the other interesting thing is that I was quoting Nehemiah yesterday that I will not come down off this wall. And the book of Nehemiah is right before the book of Esther. So, Brother Rubio, I want you to call into the blog talk Esther is not that big. But I would like for you to read, I think we need to go through the whole book of Esther. It's not my plan, it's God's plan. But I would like for you to read Esther 1, 2, and 3 this morning, straight out the book. If you could do that for me, let me know. Put your last four in the chat room. Give me your last four, and let's read the book of Esther. At the same time, Apostle Gene, I would like for you to come over to the blog talk and read the book of Nehemiah. We're going to parallel these two books, these two whole chapters, because God has us doing something parallel. We building in Nehemiah and we serving in Esther and being prepared. You understand what I'm saying this morning, Tevon? And we're building on the fact that your spouse is going to be saved and your family going to be saved. And in Nehemiah, even things like what I like about Nehemiah, it talks about mortgages and debt being forgiven. Well, paid off, really. And then Esther is in preparation. And I think the scripture, the two scriptures, the one in Esther where it says, "Who knoweth whether or not I have come into the kingdom for such a time as this." And what I was quoting in Nehemiah is when they tried to get Nehemiah to come down off the wall. And Nehemiah said, "I will not come down. What should I come down for?" Because Nehemiah knew that it was a distraction. And the distraction was to get him, Sanballat, his enemy, was to get him off the mission. So can I have Apostle Gene to read Nehemiah 1, 2, 3? Brother Rubio, I need you to read Esther 1, 2, 3. And Brother Robert, I need you to comment, okay? Are you with me this morning? Hello? It doesn't matter. You see what you got to get used to, brothers and sisters. You got to get used to God calling you and using you as he needs you. That's why he said be instant in season and out of season. You got to be ready. And you can't think you know the deadline. You can't think you know me because I'm following God. And however God's going to move, that's how I'm going to move. Whenever God's going to move, I'm moving with him. I will not come down. I will not miss out on anything God has for me and for the deadline. But some of you, because of the fact that you stuck in your ways, you stuck in your old ways, and you keep thinking something got to be this way, but it doesn't. It doesn't. God can move any way he wants to, anytime he gets ready. And that means anytime. So I'm going to open up Brother Rubio. Good morning, brother. Your mic is open.
Good morning, Sister Erica. Good morning, Ted Line. Hope you all can hear me.
Yeah,
and,
we can.
Thank you, Brother Robert. All right, here we go. Starting at Esther 1. Hold on. You give me just a moment. I'm in the ESV. I'm going to switch to the King James. All right,
okay.
I'm in there. Here we go. "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus," this is Ahasuerus, "which reigned from India even to Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even an 104 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mechelen, Bishta, Harbona, Bigta, and Abgasa, Zethar, and Carcas, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus, the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment, and the next unto him were Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti, according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it not be altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. When the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the same pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. Chapter 2. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden, which pleaseth the king, be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Hegai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Hegai, keeping of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not shew it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashagaz, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken in unto King Ahasuerus, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. And when the virgins were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet shewed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai. He told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Chapter 3. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shewed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is, the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pure, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is, the month Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus was it written, and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province is published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given and heaped on the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed.
I mean it. Brother Rubio, I want to discuss those three and discuss what you think the Lord is showing us or giving us with regard to our spouses from these three chapters.
I just want to clarify, did you want me to comment on this or Brother Robert?
I want you to dialogue. I want you both to.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll go ahead and give a little commentary. I'm not married. You know, I've been divorced. I think I told you that before when we talked, but excuse me. I love the story of Esther. I was talking the other day to Sister Natasha about Esther. We were talking back and forth about that. I think it's very significant in line with what God gave you yesterday about us being a peculiar people, because that's who God's people are and always should be. We've been set apart. And we see that clearly here. The distinction has been made, and I love what is going on, that Esther was obedient unto the Lord, and Mordecai, again, you know, kind of helping her along that way of, you know, raising her up as his own daughter, training your child up in the way that they go, so when they get old, they don't depart from it. So Mordecai did that. That's something I see that clearly stands out. And even knowing what she was revealing to the king up to this point through chapter 3, you can already see things aren't looking good for God's people. However, because of Esther's faith in God, it, you know, to serve him, and to put him in number one, first love, right? Jesus in Revelation says that, I have this against you, John. You've left your first love. Esther didn't lose that. She remained steadfast in her love for God, Adonai Elohim. And so through that, and most of us here, I'm assuming, have read the story of Esther, the book of Esther. It's a beautiful book. And with regard to spouses, I think it's critical, because in this day and time, that part where it says respect and honor, that's kind of like just a byword these days. I see a lot. And I see that a lot in marriages in the church, unfortunately. So that pretty much overall for me is kind of what I see up to this point of what's been read in the Word, that God needs to be the central point. Our love and adoration goes to him first. And from that relationship with him comes the overflow from the husband, from the wife. You know, the husband is a spiritual covering, representative of Jesus to the wife and to the family. And when that is out of order, everything's chaotic. Everything's out of order. And already we see what's happening with this. Queen Vashti, she refused the king, and the king would have none of it. And now Esther has gained the favor of the king. And I won't say any more about what happens later on because we haven't read that. But I just love the word of the Lord, and I love what he's revealing to us through this awesome fellowship that we have, sister. Thank you for letting me share that.
Brother, tomorrow, take 456, okay?
Yes, ma'am. We'll do. Thank you.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Did you want me to say something, Dr. Erica?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God. There's so much meat here. But when we start off, it starts off with the king. Who does he represent? Who does Esther represent? Who do all of the other virgins or women represent? All these things, and there's a field of good things here. One of the things that's interesting, the king has a good time. He's in a good mood, and he wants to display the beauty of his wife. Now we look at that, and if he's a symbol for God, does God do that? Actually, I'm thinking about the book of Job. He actually did. Have you considered my servant Job? That was a situation where it's pretty similar. Here's the king talking to people, talking to others in his court, and suggesting, you know, the beauty of this servant, admiring the beauty of this servant. When she refused to come, I was thinking, in the Bible, does God do those things? And then I thought, the Lord with the fig tree, and he cursed it, and that was out of season. That was a time that was out of season. A normal human wouldn't have expected fruit from that, but he was the king. And he said, no man shall eat of you in the ever again, and cursed it. That's similar to the actions of that king. The king turned around and Artaxerxes. By the way, Brother Rubio, good job pronouncing all those names. I admire your skill there. As he went on, there was a replacement, and I think when you look into the field of players in this first three chapters, I don't mean to talk too flowery here. The replacement, what he's bringing out, the choosing of the one, the beauty, and the rest of this, I think they all represent our spouses. I think what the Lord is doing is bringing out, saving them, bringing them to fullness, not just a little bit, but growing them. And these words have, you can hear echoes of prior words that Dr. Erica has talked, bringing to fullness the scripture from yesterday in the Geneva Bible. Laying aside all malicious, all guile, dissimulation, envy, as newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the word, and so on. I think this is a growing of our spouses and our kindred, too. That flows into this as well. It's not just our spouses, but our kindred. Right. Spouses one way or the other, but there's a war going on or an attempt of the king, the Lord, to bring out, to conquer the work of Satan in our spouses and to bring into fullness our spouse, to bring into, which touches on the full moon. The full moon is representative of reflecting his glory, his light, and as much as we can, that's as much as we're able to. That's the fullness of it, and it helps. It sheds its light in the dark to help the health of us. That's what we're supposed to be. As this goes on, her fearlessness, all of the traits that she exhibits are traits that are indicative of somebody that's coming into spiritual maturity. And I think that's what he's doing here. When we go into Nehemiah, I think that flows. I look at the days, there's so much teaching in this headline, and I just see one day after another, they flow together. When you look at it and you look underneath it, the oil flows into this. I see the oil started flowing out of the wall. That was for a reason. I think the Lord was speaking about Nehemiah and about us sanctifying ourselves and separating ourselves unto God. The word peculiar comes up. Peculiar means a separate and unusual people set apart, set aside for him. And that's what he was doing. He was choosing among all these women one to set aside for himself. And these things reinforce each other. One talks to the other, and it's just a swirl of wisdom, of life that comes out of this word until it just gets in us and we live it. Instead of reading about it, we live it. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Apostle Jean?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Nehemiah?
Okay. Okay. I'll read. I had just texted you. I'm going to read.
Okay.
I'm going to have to take my granddaughter to the bus stop.
You can do it tomorrow and I'll let you go first.
You said do it tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read it tomorrow then.
Then tomorrow you're going to do 1-6, okay?
Do 1-6? Okay.
Tomorrow 1-6, and I'll let you go first.
Okay then, all right.
Okay, great. In
all
preparation
right.
for tomorrow. Okay, Caroline, I want you to read Nehemiah so you'll be up with Apostle Gene. Okay. This is hot. If the Lord just gave me this morning. So God is going to move through this. So I just took a few things from Esther. So I'm just gonna pray. You can pray in agreement with me. Somebody pray in the spirit, please. The first word the Holy Spirit illuminated was despise. This spirit of despising somebody, especially somebody you're supposed to be in agreement with. I'm talking about Queen Vashti now. The next one I heard was captivity. And I put all captivity. Then I put left first love. That queen had left obviously, and didn't care, or maybe she felt like she had such a stronghold over the king that he would never do what he did, and so therefore we shouldn't take people for granted. I saw a spirit of wrath. I saw kindred. I saw favor. And I saw, I can't even read my own writing on this one. But anyway, the king sealed it. Oh, pure, P-U-R. That's what it is, P-U-R. So I got to look that up, but it's the feast of Purim. Okay? And the interesting thing is that I was received a call out of love yesterday to enter into a prayer group that ain't no way in the world I would have ever thought. I never gave it a thought. This was some people doing some very, very high level warfare right now. So our warfare is entering in with some people all the way over to Hawaii, the island of Maui, and all the way back here in Washington, D.C., and Washington, over to Washington State, all the way down to Key West. These people are doing high-level spiritual warfare right now. So I was asked to come and be with them, and it was a great honor to be asked. But I kind of got to be like Nehemiah and not come down off this wall. I'm going to tell them today, I will intercede with them, but I cannot physically come and be with them, even although I would like to, even although it's a great honor to even be asked and to be included. But I got to stay on this wall. I have to stay on this wall. Father God, this morning, as we listen to your word, we take your word this morning, your word in Esther, your word in Nehemiah. Lord God, any of these spirits that are strongholds, that are even hovering over, you know, God, the people that I talked to yesterday, they understand a lot more than I do about what you have called them to do. But I know that, God, you have equipped this TED line with one thing, and that is pure, raw power. And that's why I was asked to join them. They recognize that there's an anointing for power on this deadline, and there's an anointing for power on me and what you call me to do. So right now, Lord God, I pray for every spouse, every kindred, every relative, every child, for the future generations, to 1,000 generations, that you would lift off of them the weightiness of the destroyer, the weightiness of wrath. Lord God, this morning I'm asking you to allow these words to penetrate into every kindred and every nation, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray this morning that you, Father, would remove the veil, Lord God, that has somehow been enacted against the souls of our loved ones. Lord God, through the spirit of ignorance or through the spirit of, when I say ignorance, God, I mean spiritual ignorance. It may have been inherited. It may have been just adopted. It may have been involuntarily enacted against their will because of their environment, because of their culture. But this morning, I'm asking you to lift the veil. I'm asking you to give them Lord God, a supernatural impartation of yourself. I'm asking you to manifest yourself to them, God, that they will see you, Lord God, and Father God, that you would open up their hearts, whatever this thing is in the past that has caused their hearts to be hardened, caused their eyes to be blinded, Lord God. And should there be any witchcraft, Lord God, even from their past, even from inheritance, Lord God, I pray this morning that the veil would be lifted. I pray this morning that the heart would become tender and pliable, God. I pray this morning that you would bring them back to their first love. I pray this morning that you would bind every spirit of opposition to your purpose, God, to your plan, God. I pray this morning, Father God, every spirit that has come in through alcohol or wine or even pain pill, pharmakia, the Lord God rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All mind-altering spirits that oppose the purpose and the plan of God, we break that stronghold this morning. We command those walls to come down in the name of Jesus. Lord God, begin the preparation. Even those that don't have a spouse, Lord God, begin the preparation. Prepare their hearts, Lord God, so that you could give them a spouse. Prepare a spouse for them if they want one. If they don't, Father God, that's fine. But Lord God, everybody needs somebody to talk to. Everybody at some point needs somebody to communicate with. So even if it's just a good friend, you said that you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Prepare those surrogate friends, Lord God. Because, Lord, you call Abraham friend. God, prepare those sanctified friends. Prepare those sanctified spouses. Prepare our sanctified kindred. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you this morning. Lord God, open up the veil of our hearts. And Lord God, reveal and expose every spirit and deliver from every spirit, as we're going to see in these your word in the next couple of days. Lord God, I'm asking you to manifest yourself gloriously, and I'm asking you to do this expediently, and I'm asking you to do this in the name that is above every name. And I'm asking you that our prayers come together in unity. Your word says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And we crown you this morning. We crown you this morning.
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. when you're standing at a crossroads?
At a crossroads,
what do you do?
What do you do?
Real sweet, when a fork is in the road.
When a fork is in the road, what do you do?
When the world is on your shoulders.
When the world is on your shoulders, what do you do?
When your back is up against the wall.
When your back is up against the wall.
Come on.
What do you do?
What do you do?
You hold on
and keep the faith.
And keep the faith.
Tell somebody on your road, say,
keep the faith.
Come on, tell somebody sitting around you, keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Come on, encourage somebody else, keep the faith. Where do you look?
When there's nowhere else to look.
Where do you turn?
When there's nowhere else to turn.
Where do you go?
When there's nowhere else to go.
What do you do?
When there's nothing else to do.
You gotta remember, you're in the Master's hand.
And the Master has a plan.
So hold on.
Hold on.
And keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
Keep the faith.
those of you on the blog talk, I posted Nehemiah's prayer to God, which is Nehemiah 1, 5 through 11. I want you to keep the faith. We're on the mountaintop. And I want you to put this in your scriptures for life lessons. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. I will not be brought under the power of any demon, any witch, anything other than God's own Holy Spirit and the power of God. Because the object of witchcraft, devils, demons, evil, shamans, all that stuff, is to bring you under subjection to the devil. But your battlecraft for you and for your spouse to be delivered from underneath the power of anything that is trying to draw them away from the plans and the purposes of God for your life. We're going to have fun with this, and you're going to see the Word of God come alive and work for you. This is part of our what? Fight Club. We still in the Fight Club. Amen. So I may not bring it out, but we still on the same mission. So now we fighting not selfishly, but we fighting from an unselfish position for our loved ones, for our kindred, our family. If we don't, who will? If you don't win, who will for them? The Bible says charity begins at home first, and then it spreads abroad. Amen? If you're a winner, how can you even want to win knowing your family is losing? We don't. We want winners and a winning spirit because we serve the winner. Our resurrected Savior was, is, and forever will be a winner. And he calls us to be winners. He just uses a different name. He uses overcomers. It's still winning no matter how you look at it. And all of this has to be done through the inner man, because the same way the Lord works with us from the inside to the outside, the enemy attempts to destroy us from the inside to the outside. You need the strength. You need it of your spouse. And it all works through love. It all works through love.
Listen to your mind.
Praise God. This is Jesus Believers Church, home of the Tedline, coming to you from the mountaintops, open heaven, here in Dalton, Georgia. I'll see you tomorrow in the name of Jesus, if the Lord says the same.